We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Allen looks to his left, fires left side. To the end zone! Stephon Diggs makes the catch! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Howard Simon.
I could wear my Robinson Cano jersey and have like a syringe nearby. By the way, that's a good example for the kids.
Jeremy White.
I've been very, very wrong about hockey for the last... Don't answer that.
On WGR.
How will you feel if Vegas makes the playoffs next year? My immediate thought was I will eat a flip-flop.
Sports Radio 550.
Happy Tuesday. Hope you're hanging out okay and you're safe wherever you might be having some snow falling.
Yeah, like what, 9-10 inches down in Eden?
Yeah, I believe they were leading the way. So the Southern Tier is getting it. It's still not, just checking, it's not snowing at all right now, or maybe there's like a couple little traces of here in Amherst in northern Erie County. And anyway, yeah, so right, Lake Effect Snow Warning Northern Erie is in effect till 7 o'clock tonight. We could get 6 to 12 inches, but like I said, it's been really nothing since I got in this morning. Let's get some calls. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. One of the things we're discussing this morning is what this Bills season has meant to you so far. So let's do that. And we'll start with Alex in Lackawanna. Alex, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Good talking with you guys. First time caller this year has been a great ride. I'm super happy. My kids, my son is 20, my daughter is 16. They don't remember when the Bills were going to the Super Bowl every year. And I was in eighth grade and then 3 years in high school. The bad thing is I grew up in Southern Cali, so it was all like Raiders, 49ers, Rams. And, on Friday it was great, but then going to school that Monday after the Super Bowls wasn't so fun.
Yeah.
But you know what? It brings back a lot of good memories, and this has just been really great.
Yeah, I've been talking about that a bit, Alex. Thanks. It does bring back, since you lived through it, you know, it does bring back a lot of great memories. But up on top of that, not that Jeremy's 25, he's, you know, 32, 33-ish. But on top of that, I think it's also great for people like us who lived it to see others get to experience and now begin to feel how everybody felt 30 years ago. And, you know, Jeremy getting all pumped about knowing that, you know, the Bills are one win from going to the Super Bowl. Let me just make sure you understand the format of the playoffs in the NFL. And Brayton and all these guys, my son, his 24, everybody had not experienced it. I'm enjoying it, but I'm also enjoying, I don't know if it's vicariously, but I'm enjoying seeing those people, including my coworkers, get to see what it's like around here when the Bills are making a playoff run. I mean, Jeremy, you've experienced the Sabres playoff run, so you kind of get the idea of how the community can go bananas when a team is really good. But there's just something a little bit different about football season when it happens. So that is, Alex, thanks. Thanks for the call. I'm glad you're able to share it with your children now as well. They're not young anymore, but thanks for the call. Let's see. Hang on. We got to get caught up here. Going to Ken and Alden next. Ken, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Tom and Alden.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom. Do you know about anybody by the name of Ken?
How's the snow right now?
I do. Howard, I think what the growth of Josh Allen, and that's what this season's about for me, especially the Seattle game. You know, like, he beat Russell Wilson. You know, I think it was his first win against a really top quarterback, you know, and the defense with A.J. Klein making all those sacks in the second half against Allen, against Wilson. They knocked him down 16 times, and Seattle's offense was never the same after that game the rest of the year. And I just think that game was the difference for the Bills. And I have a way that they can beat Kansas City. I watched Mahomes against New Orleans. New Orleans had a really heavy pass rush, really, really good defensive line. The ends could not catch Mahomes. That Jordan, number 94, Mahomes would extend the plays and make plays. So I think the Bills need to blitz with their D-backs, like Johnson and Tre'Davious White. They need to somehow get fast guys on him before he can extend plays. And that's I'd like to hear your comments.
If I recall, I'm trying to remember look up the date. Yeah, okay. I remember watching that game, the Saints game, and you're right. Mahomes was holding on to the ball. But if I recall correctly, Ken, they were getting through with a four-man rush. I don't think the Saints were blitzing. To me, that was the significant part of that. They were getting pressure on Mahomes and frustrating him and making him wonder, where am I going with the ball, by only rushing four guys.
Yeah, but he still beat him.
I know, but I'm just saying I would not blitz him. And I thought they were as effective as I think you can be getting pressure to Mahomes. I mean, look, they end up scoring 32, but there were stretches in that game where he was getting frustrated and they weren't moving the ball and they were punting. And those guys were getting a rush from four. I think blitzing would be, I think you'd be asking for trouble.
Okay.
Jeremy, what do you think? How aggressive would you be if you're Leslie Frazier in this game?
I don't know. It depends on down and distance, right? Depends on
yep.
a lot of things.
Yep.
Mahomes, like Allen, is great against the blitz. He has a higher quarterback rating against five or more rushers than he does against four. And you're talking about that game against the Saints. I don't remember if they blitzed or not.
I don't think they did. Yeah. Not a lot. Not very much at all.
To me, this is your stat line that Mahomes puts up and you beat him. And that's 26 of 47, 254.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, still three touchdowns.
Right, I know. Right.
No picks.
Yeah.
But his yards per attempt was 5.4.
That's right.
It's the lowest yards per attempt he had on the season.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And they still won.
Right, which is the scary thing. But I'm pretty sure that was a Nance Romo game because I recall in my head, whoever's doing the analysis, that's what I say. I think it was Romo was talking about how effective the Saints have been, and they're getting to him with four. They're still containing. They're rushing. I don't know if they got any sacks that day. I'd have to look up all the stats. But they were making him look tentative, which is really hard to do with Patrick Mahomes and all the weapons he has. And I was really impressed, even though the Saints lost. And the Saints defense was, I think, one of the better scoring defenses in the league.
They sacked him four times.
Yeah, like I'm watching.
And he
right.
fumbled twice.
I'm watching that game going, he doesn't know where to go with the ball. And I'm like, this is teams. And he still scored 32 and they won. But anyway, my
right.
point is.
His quarterback rating was still a 92. They still had three touchdowns
yeah,
and
right?
no picks.
And that was a good defensive performance against the guy. And as I said, I think they didn't do it with blitzing. I just think if you can generate a rush with four and do what New Orleans did, you still got to make plays on the back end. But that's as good a job as I've seen a team do against Mahomes.
It's not to say I have no expectations from the defense, but I almost have no expectations
yeah,
from
right,
the team.
Right.
You know, because you could blitz him or you could sit back and he could beat you both ways.
Mm-hmm.
The game comes down to the reason the Bills are in this game, granted last week the defense gets them there, but the reason the Bills are in this game, in this spot, and why they're only a 2.5-point underdog and why they have a chance to win the Super Bowl and why they're a 2-seed is because their offense got them here. Their defense has come around and supplemented that, but this is where I need it. This is where, the Chiefs and the the Patriots last year in the AFC Championship?
2 years ago.
They beat? 2 years ago. Who'd they beat last year? Beat the
Tennessee.
Titans. Right. Those games, what happened?
They scored.
The Chiefs got behind,
yeah.
and then they just hit the gas.
Right.
So I don't know if anybody stops them when they get in full-on hit-the-gas mode. The only thing you can do is get a lead and then always counterpunch. So I heard somebody call the Extra Point Show with Sal and talk about taking the ball. Like the Browns opted to defer and get the ball to start the second half, and the Chiefs went down and scored on their first possession. And
yeah.
right away, if you're the Browns, you're playing from behind. And, the double dip. Teams like to score at the end of the half and then get it out of halftime, which I think a lot of people appreciate why, and I don't care what the Bills do, to be totally honest. If there's ever a case to try and score first, it's if you know you're going to score. If mm-hmm. you know you're in the greatest shootout of all time, you want to be in front as soon as possible, because even though the double dip is there, it's just as likely that you'll have the ball last to finish the first half, and you'll have one more possession than them, and you'll get in up one score because of that. So it's just tough. I don't have the answer. I almost kind of want to say that if they decide to run the same game plan they did last time, okay, then the offense has to win it. If they decide to blitz him and go crazy, okay, the offense is going to have to score.
Sure.
Maybe the secret is Jake Kumerow. Ryan Talbot reports that he's flying to Buffalo tonight, expected to join the Bills practice squad. So there you go. Jake Kumerow is going to come back.
Good. Well, they liked him. Yeah. I think they were sorry when they lost him. Let's go to Scott and East Aurora next. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys. I want to acknowledge and express my gratitude to the Pagulos for obviously for buying this team, and because I want to picture this if you can. Imagine this happening to the Toronto Bon Jovis right now, and we'd be sitting January in Buffalo, sitting in snow, watching that happen. Granted, you know, the Pagulas hired Bean and McDermott, so I mean, I don't know who Living on a Prayer would have hired, but I mean, imagine if that was happening somewhere else right now, whether it's the Toronto Bon Jovis or the L.A. Beach Bums or whoever it would have been. You know, this is happening here right now. It's absolutely amazing, and you know, we have them to thank for it. So that's, you know, short and sweet. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, and I would thank them profusely for hiring Sean McDermott and hiring Brandon Bean, because it's the best shape this organization's been in, you know, since Polian and Marv were in charge of football operations and coaching, respectively, and it's worked out great with both of those guys. And they both got contract extensions, so they're not going anywhere for a while. Get to Quinn in Buffalo next. Welcome, Quinn. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm a long time, first time, and I just wanted to say this Bills season has meant the world to me. I really could not tell you more than that. Like, this is some of the most awesome football I've ever seen. You know, I'm 21 years old, and some of the most entertaining football that I got to watch in my life was Kyle Orton going 9-7.
Yeah.
This is just a dream come true. I cannot tell you that. I think Stephon Diggs, getting him was one of the best trades we've made in maybe 20 years. I don't know. Drafting Josh Allen, that was just the godsend. I mean, couldn't have worked out better for us. And this season is just, oh, God, I wish we could have fans and we could break through tables and do whatever we wanted to. But, you know, we're getting through it. Buffalo is strong. And let's win on Sunday, you know?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Win. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm glad you're enjoying it. It has absolutely been a blast. I mean, look, they're winning, which is at the end of the day, that's the important thing. But you brought up Diggs. It's one of, not 20 years. It's one of the best trades in the history of the franchise. You know, not only are they winning, but by golly, they're entertaining. I mean, they are. So you brought up the Seattle game. It's one of the more enjoyable games of the season. I mean, they were unstoppable. We spent the whole week talking about, you know, Seattle's. I know Russell Wilson's in the MVP discussion, but their defense isn't good. You should be able to score against them. And what happened? 44 points. I mean, it was just kids play that day. And just the way you can go back to shoot week two against Miami, which was still a good defense in week two, and they just exploded all over them. So, you know, they're winning, but they're also entertaining. They're fun. The quarterback took gargantuan strides. The trade for the elite wide receiver has paid off a thousandfold. I guess I'm exaggerating a little bit much here, but you get my point.
I don't think that's exaggerating.
A thousandfold seems like a lot.
It's a pun, a thousand-yard season. So, yeah,
a thousand. Because usually it's like tenfold, right? Isn't
that
the
term? Yeah, 10 yards, he had like 1,500.
So, I mean, it's just and they're entertaining and they're high scoring and they're explosive and they just everything. And now, you know, we talked about, you know, early in the season, people were a little nervous about their defense. They were winning, but they were giving up a whole bunch of points. And now the defense rounded into shape and they're playing much better. And if you think you know, Sunday, I know what you said, Jeremy, and, you know, I think this is about the offense putting up enough points to outscore Kansas City. But if you're out there thinking, I just need the defense to do a little bit to help me on Sunday, well, they're playing better. They're playing their best ball of the season. And they just had a great performance against, you know, what was one of the higher scoring offenses in the league this season. So it's all good. So, yes, appreciate the call. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that with us this morning.
So we can't be at the game going through tables, doing all that stuff, doing the tailgating that we normally do. We can, of course, have our, you know, at-home tailgates and that kind of stuff. So here's my idea.
Oh, that's right.
Idea.
You teased the smoker. That's right.
Here's my idea. Yeah. I was thinking about this. I don't know what I'm going to make on Sunday. I don't know. I've got time, of course. I could start preparations at 11 p.m. the night before. We got a 6:40 game.
Yeah.
So the last couple of weeks, we've the smoker community, not the cigarette smoker or the meat smoker.
There's
community.
A smoker. Is this a hashtag thing on Twitter?
Hashtag or smoker community.
Smoker community. Okay.
Yeah, we've been out there smoking, game day meals and such.
Yes.
So this is going to give me more work than you with Pick the Bills.
Come on.
I'm telling you. I'm.
Are you stressing?
I'm excited.
Over this?
I'm excited. Well, no. I've got an idea that I'm going to stress about.
Yeah.
So. I think what I want to do is have my fellow smokers out there that, you know, prepare for tailgates, send me a recipe. And I'll pick one and I'll make
it. Ooh, that's interesting.
You know, I don't know what to make.
Mm-hmm.
I've done brisket. I've done pulled pork. I've done a chicken. I've never done a turkey. I'm not going to do wings. I'm not going to do smoked wings. I've done ribs.
Kansas City.
Yeah, right? Like, there's Kansas City pulled chicken. I looked into that.
Is there really?
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of work.
Oh, it sounds good,
but
though.
But whatever. What I'd like to do is have everyone out there that listens and also does this or plans on doing this, send me your recipe, your best that you've got. Now, I fully expect my email inbox, Howard, to have by the end of today, like 50 smoker recipes.
Yeah.
And I'll have to pick one based on degree of difficulty and time and who knows.
The chicken one sounds good, actually.
Well, email me. Whitey@WGR550.com. Send me a recipe.
Ribs are good.
I'm going to look through them all. I'll pick one. And then, you know, I'll stock up on the stuff and make it. And come Sunday at 3 a.m., who knows? Depends on how early I got to get out there and start smoking. We'll go through it together. I might even, once I pick it, maybe I'll post it at the website. And if anybody else wants to, you know, we could kind of do something. It's about the community of it, you know. We're all out there getting ready. We're all going grocery shopping before the game, whatever you're doing. So email me your best recipe, your best smoker recipe, steps, everything, whatever you need. I'm going to go to work this weekend. I'm ready.
Ribs,
this community?
I'm getting hungry.
Do you know why? I only tweet during these games. I only tweet that I am smoking. There are a lot of follow-up questions, and I never answer them because – if you talk about smoking or preparing any sort of food online, there are people to tell you you're doing it wrong, no matter what.
Is that right?
Yes. And
you know, to get the best taste, here's what you want to do. What I would
add. One thing I've learned, it's that when it comes to a smoker, there are two schools of thought on everything and an equal amount of people to tell you that the other one is wrong.
So this is people take this very seriously then.
Yes.
Is an
people
art
take
form.
It seriously.
Yeah.
Like, well, should I do this? I'll get 50 replies, yes, and 50 replies, no.
Huh.
And if you Google it and go to any forum, a lot of them are that way. It's a very, you know, it's a craft almost.
So you're not leaning in. You're not leaning in any direction. Then you're totally going to leave us up to what people send you and pick one.
I'm gonna pick the recipe that to me looks like I can pull it off the best.
Fair enough.
So email me whitey@wgr550.com. A couple weeks ago for a game, somebody sent me a message or an email for a Dutch oven beef stew.
Whoa.
And I just made it, and it was great. So,
you know what?
Listeners haven't let me down yet.
But I don't have a smoker. Could I do a regular? Do you think I could get, like, some people to just send me regular recipes? Like, I don't cook very well, and yet I am the cook for the house. So I make the same boring 7 meals all the time. So if anybody, if you get some stuff that you think I could use, could you just forward it to me possibly?
But well, what do you want to do?
I just need to learn how to cook, basically. And I suppose I should just go online and find recipes. Just don't take the time.
You want to bake? You want to grill?
Anything. I grill through the winter.
You grill all year long, yeah.
Yeah, I got the grills on the back deck. As long as it's not a foot of snow to walk through to get to the grill, I go right out the back door. Yeah, I love grilling. Yeah, I just got to learn how to cook. I don't take the time to actually find recipes, so just people send them. That'd be great. Keep them fairly simple. All right, when we get back, Let's find out about the Kansas City Chiefs. What's going on with Patrick Mahomes, the protocol, and to get a little scouting report. So we're going to be chatting with Carrington Harrison, 610 Sports in Kansas City, when we return. And by the way, Bills news that we talk about throughout the course of the show is brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In week six, Kansas City came to Buffalo and they beat the Bills 26-17. They blitzed almost every single play. I mean, they came after him every way that you can. But you could tell that there were times they clearly were not trying to sack him. They just wanted to keep him right there because they know when he gets out to his right, he's just simply deadly. So even a guy like Chris Jones, who gets paid to sack the quarterback, he's like, nope, I'll just keep him in the pocket because that's what Spags said to do. Now you can tell right here, the blitzes, they came from everywhere in this game, from all over, you name it, all the way to the very end. Now, it says that Josh Allen threw for 122 yards, his lowest of the season. But you know how many penalties the Chiefs defensive backs had? They had about five that all led to first downs. I mean, here they are. Six-man pressure right here. Hung in there. Makes this throw on the outside with Chris Jones just hitting him. This right here threw a flag on Tre'Varius Ward. All right, got the ball at the four-yard line. Would score on this play down on the four. I mean, this play right here to Diggs is unbelievable. Is he deadly going to his right? Watch Diggs. I mean, they've got Thornhill and Tre'Varius Ward on him. Diggs knows that his quarterback's trying to buy time. Ball's in the air, legs go dead, touchdown.
This is Brian Baldinger, Radio.com NFL Insider. I'm curious now to see what the percentage of blitzes were on Josh dropbacks. Although, as he mentioned, they weren't blitzing to get sacks. They were blitzing more to contain that night. I'm going to guess, what did he have? I know he had a season-low passing. Let's see. He had eight runs that night for 42 yards in the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday night. We'll talk a little bit more about Kansas City in a moment. Of course, the main story to track this week at this point is what's going on with Patrick Mahomes, who left the game on Sunday against Cleveland with the concussion. And on our Western hotline right now is Carrington Harrison from 610 Sports in Kansas City. Carrington had a report that he tweeted out yesterday about the nature of that injury, and we'll start there. Carrington, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate you guys having me on your show today.
Thanks for doing this for us. So let's start with what you tweeted out yesterday. What exactly is or was the nature of the injury Sunday with Patrick Mahomes?
I think a lot of people were curious on whether Mahomes hit his head and that caused the concussion. From what I learned yesterday, I don't believe that's the case. I think it was a separate issue. Now, the is he or is he not going to play, I think that's a separate conversation that I'm sure we'll have between now and the end of this. But I feel pretty comfortable in saying that I don't think Patrick Mahomes had a concussion. I think it was a different issue.
We've read a little bit about, we've talked about on the show, a brachial stun. Somebody even called it something like that. It was such an awkward tackle that, you know, I think anybody watching at home might have thought at that time, trying to watch a few times. Of course, any sort of blunt force can be a concussion, but an awkward tackle. On the sidelines, was he right after the game, right after being evaluated, did the team say he seemed like himself?
Yeah, that's kind of been the report. So in the locker room and afterwards, he passed all of his concussion tests. But because of the hit. He's still in the concussion protocol, so we'll see how the next 5 days go. But I expect him to pass the concussion protocol part of it. And we had Chad Henne on our show actually yesterday, and he said he spoke to Mahomes. So this would be now Monday morning, and he said he was in good spirits. So we'll certainly see what happens. I believe Patrick Mahomes is going to play. Now, no one has told me this. I am not reporting this, but just based on the information, based on how the Chiefs have kind of sold it, I believe that Patrick Mahomes will play.
What did the toe situation, because he was hobbled before he left the game the other day. What's going on with that?
I mean, that's still an issue. I think he has turf toe. I mean, that's kind of been the way secondary issue now in the midst of the concussion issue. But I don't think that it's significant enough where he's not going to play because of it. I mean, I think we'll see the effects of it. I think we were seeing the effects of it during the game on Sunday, but I don't think that the turf toe is enough to keep him out of a game of this magnitude.
With regard to the Chiefs offense, you know, we've been watching the Chiefs from afar because, of course, they're the defending champs, and going through the AFC means generally going through Kansas City. We've watched them win a bunch of games, but not win as convincingly. Has the conversation in Kansas City at all been about that, or is it just pretty much everybody expected them to flip a switch once they got to the playoffs?
It's been kind of two school of thoughts, and you guys know just from being in sports talk radio. It's the shut up, they're winning, why does this matter, why are you even talking about this, or it's the why are you guys not talking about this, stop being homers. Like, it's kind of that weird line the entire season. I've been on the this matters, and I've been on it for the this matters because sometimes I think people in Kansas City, and it's certainly understandable, they talk about the Chiefs like they're infallible, like they can never lose, and I'm like, hey, go back and think through these games, like the Buffalo game, for example. A lot of people in Kansas City think that game was never close. And I'm like, you guys didn't watch the same game that I watched. Kansas City was up by 6 points with 5 minutes to go. If Buffalo gets one stop and they have to punt the ball back, then Buffalo has a chance to win the game. Like, how can we say that's not close? That's the definition of close. So I think it's a lot of those scenarios in which if one play changes, like think back to Sunday's game against the Browns, if you change the one Daniel Sorensen play, that's a very different game. Buffalo or Cleveland potentially wins the game. So, I mean, I think it's an issue. I think some Chiefs fans think it's an issue. I think other Chiefs fans don't care because with Patrick Mahomes, they have won 25 of their last 26 games.
Hey, overall, Carrington, when you stack this team up versus last year's Super Bowl champions, how does this team fare compared to them? Better, worse, the same?
I think that last year's team was maybe a little bit better, but I think that this team is obviously good enough because of the experience of last year and they can recall it. Like, I called the Chiefs coasters for most of the regular season. Like, some people were students where they wouldn't try until the last 3 weeks of the quarter, and then they could turn in all the work and then still get a B+. That I think the Chiefs sort of learned last year that it all only thing that matters is the postseason. So I think that there were various times, like this year against Atlanta, I don't think they played well at all. This year against Carolina, I thought they kind of sleptwalked through the game. They play the Chargers in week two. They kind of sleptwalked through the game. That I think they just know now what they need to do to get to where they need to go. So I think that last year's team sort of at the end of the season were sort of motivated by losing in the AFC Championship game and put it all together the second half of the season. This run's been a lot different from that since, but this team is as dangerous as last year's team.
We were talking earlier, Jeremy and I, you know, this is not a landmark statement. If you're going to beat Kansas City, odds are you're going to have to outscore them. The Bills' offense had some problems in that game earlier this season. They couldn't really pass the ball. They didn't have much success offensively. How has the Chiefs' defense been playing, generally speaking?
I mean, there's the playoff version of the Chiefs' defense and the regular season version of the Chiefs' defense. You could score on the regular season version, but in the playoffs, they've actually done a really good job. I actually agree with you. This was kind of a debate back and forth that we had last week on the show about what scenario could Cleveland win the game. And sometimes I think people go with this notion of, well, you just got to run the ball 40 times and keep Mahomes on the sideline. The one time the Chiefs have lost in the last year and a half was to the Raiders. The Raiders scored 40 points. Like, you got to score at least 35 points to me to feel comfortable to think you can beat Kansas City. Obviously, last week was different because of the Mahomes injury. But if Mahomes doesn't get hurt, they were scoring 30 points in that game. So I agree with you. You have to score at least 30 points, and I think you have to force at least one turnover because one possession that the Chiefs are going to potentially score, you got to be able to take away from them. And that's how I think you beat them. But what I think is interesting about this game, and I'm sure you guys will talk about it during the week, is the formula for both teams, I think, is going to be pretty different. Josh Allen threw for, I think, 120 yards in that game. Diggs wasn't a major factor. The Chiefs also ran the ball for 240 yards in the game. They aren't doing that in this game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Do you think they're not doing that because have they not been able to run the ball effectively since then? Is that something about the Chiefs, or just mean the Bills might play that differently? Because we expect that there might be obviously a different defensive approach.
It's been a little bit Chiefs. I also think Buffalo is going to do a better job of stopping it than they did before. Like, the Chiefs' offensive line won in that game, I thought, the first time. And the elements and the conditions, I thought the Chiefs just ran the ball super effective. Like, they haven't shown that commitment to the run since then. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to try to run the football. Like, they're not going to be Buffalo last first half and only have two carries. But if I had to guess, Kansas City probably runs for about 90 to 120 yards, which is a far cry from what they did the first time, but they'll make it up potentially with Mahomes throwing the ball a little bit more effectively than he did the first time.
Carrington, if there is a vulnerable area or a best way to attack Kansas City's defense, look, the Bills, they don't really run the ball much. They lean on their pass game very much so. Is there an area where you would say, you know, if you're really going to beat the Chiefs D, this is what you should do?
I think it's either play action with their linebackers. I think that's probably the weakest part of their team in covering side to side. And I think using the Raiders game as an example is probably the best. If you go back and just watch the highlights of, you don't got to watch the whole game. The Raiders attack the Chiefs in a way that no other team has this season, because I think a lot of teams think, well, we don't want to get the ball back quickly to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Derek Carr and Nelson Aguilar and Henry Ruggs, like, they were running vertical, go route, and they were challenging the Chiefs. And I do think the Chiefs looked at the scoreboard, and they were like, wait, we scored 28 points in the first half. Wait, they scored 28 points in the first half. This isn't supposed to be happening in this, where I thought that kind of caught the Chiefs a little bit off guard. Like, I think the Chiefs sort of smell fear. And I think there's certain moments in the game where they realize, we're going to score, and you're not going to be able to stop it. And I think a lot of times teams – start to try to be like the Chiefs or play like the Chiefs, and they try to play keep up, and they're just always constantly playing from behind because Mahomes and the offense put so much pressure on them. You just got to avoid that moment.
Jeremy asked you about the running game. What's going? I mean, the guy who had the big game that night was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What's his health status for this game?
I don't think anybody knows right now. So he practiced actually last Wednesday, was a limited participant, didn't practice on Thursday, didn't practice on Friday. So he was unable to go for the game on Sunday. A lot of people thought Le'Veon Bell was going to be a plus for this team. I thought so myself. He hasn't been a factor the last couple of weeks. I think he only had two carries in the game. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think he only had two carries in the game on Sunday against the Browns. They have Darrell Williams. He was like their third string running back last year, but because of opt-outs and injuries, he's kind of the next man up. He had a good game. He had 13 carries for 70 yards. He caught the ball a couple times out of the backfield. That's about what they got last year from Damian Williams. They didn't get great contributions from Damian Williams until the Super Bowl, but he was a guy who continuously touched the ball 18 to 20 times and had at least 100 yards in total offense. I think Darrell Williams can do that on Sunday against Buffalo.
Hey, Carrington, last thing for you, because I'm really curious about this. Who has done the best job of either stopping or at least limiting Travis Kelce, and what is the best way to do that?
I don't really think there is a good way to do it, to be completely honest with you about it. I don't think anybody has done a really good job. This is probably the best way to answer your question without specifically answering it. I think the best way to beat Kansas City is you have to get pressure with your front four.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes this year on blitzes through four, 70% completion percentage, 16 touchdowns and one interception on blitzes. If you have to send additional pressure against this team, you have no chance of beating them. The teams that have done the best against Kansas City, teams like Los Angeles, last year in the Super Bowl, San Francisco, I would say the Raiders in the second half of the game, they forced three straight three and out and an interception in the second half against Kansas City. You got to get pressure with your front four. One of your defensive linemen has to continuously win his matchup, and he has to get pressure that way. If that doesn't happen, you are not slowing down Kansas City, and they're going to move the ball at will against you. So I understand the question. That's the best way to do it. I think the best way to beat Kansas City is you got to sell out to either stop Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. You can't allow both of them to have a good day.
Yeah.
And then you got to get pressure with your front four. If you don't do that, you will not win.
Yeah, we were just talking about, somebody called about the Saints game. And I recall, even though Kansas City won that game and they scored 32 points, I was just saying, I recall that New Orleans was successful in getting pressure with their front four and frustrating Mahomes to an extent.
Yeah, Cam Jordan did a really good job before he got ejected from the game. New Orleans sacked Mahomes four times and forced two fumbles, and they had eight tackles for loss. I thought New Orleans actually played Kansas City pretty close, but I think we saw at the end of the season, they just don't have the quarterback play to beat a team like Kansas City.
Yeah. Hey, Carrington, thank you. Thanks for giving us some time this morning. Great information, sir. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend.
I'm just happy that you guys know who I am, so thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Have a nice day. Carrington Harrison from 610 Sports in Kansas City. They're all sports radio station there.
Yeah, you know, like, it's been a while that I've – the Chiefs are a great example. Whenever you're talking about keeping the ball out of the other team's hands, you always alternate possessions.
Yeah.
You know, you if you limit his, you limit yours.
Your own. Right. Let me get a break. We'll pick up on that if we have time when we get back, because we got to get out of the way for Instigators coming up soon on WGR.
We forgot to mention something.
Yeah, go ahead. What?
The biggest news of the day. The Sabres whites are gorgeous.
Yeah, we did forget that. They were getting rave reviews on Twitter last night.
The new blue on that white home, white home. What a jersey. Top five in the NHL immediately, those whites. They're amazing.
Yes, very sharp look. Yeah, liked it. And they're unbeaten in those.
Love them.
Yeah. So, hockey on the way with Instigators. Join us tomorrow morning at 6. We'll be in full-fledged Bills Chiefs mode. I mean, we're kind of there now anyway. Enjoy your day. Be safe.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.